Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast from the International Motorsports Association and Radio Show Limited.
It's for personal use only and must not be rebroadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Jeremy Shaw, Earl Bamber in the race.
Yes, indeed. And more good news for him, as to just sort of carry on from what Johnny Mullen was just saying. Not only is he under yellow to kind of get him up to speed, he's also at the tail end of the pack in DPI as well. So he can just sort of settle in, he hopes, and follow the other guys. And that'll, I think, be also a benefit to him in terms of getting back up to speed, or getting up to speed in these cars, having never before raced a DPI.
Yeah, that's a very good point, Jeremy. It's always nice to be able to feed yourself in rather than being maybe at the head of the field with five other or six other guys bearing down on you and you feeling like you're letting everyone down by going from first to fifth in two laps. So that's a really good point. I also noticed that the 55 Mazda managed to get one of its laps back, so it's now only two laps down. So the Mazda crew will be hoping for another two or three full-course yellows in the next 45 minutes to try and get their laps back. But it's a shame in a way, because the LM... GTLM field, as always on the same lap. The LMP3 field has kind of been sort of broken away now, the first two sort of breaking away from the rest, at least a lap behind in the rest of that. GTD, the leaders are all, the first five or six, all on the same lap, and the DPIs are doing well, keeping on the same lap, but unfortunately now splintered slightly, six on the lead lap, and then one, an extra one, the 55 car, two laps back.
Let's go to Shea Adam before we go back green to find out what happened, if we can, to Rodrigo Fluca in the 47 Motorsport LMP3 that is the cause of this, what is it, sixth now caution, fifth full course caution, my apologies. Shea, what can you tell us?
There's no one left from the team to talk to, but I asked Bert, the pit official, if something broke on the car, and he said, yeah, they reported that something broke before he went into the tires, and that's why they needed the rollback. It wasn't as a result of the contact with anything. It was something that broke that caused Rodrigo into a spin.
Yeah, we thought as much. Thank you, Shea. Excellent work. The safety car has pulled away. Bit of weaving going on, but it will be... Ricky Taylor, who brings them back to green as we've just gone in to the next hour of racing. Under six to go now at Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta. We're back under green flag racing. Another great start on a huge shunt on the back straight.
The Corvettes?
One, two, three, four, five cars at least, including the number three Corvette, I think, the GRT Grasser Lamborghini, the 57...
BMW.
No, that's
the
Allegra.
The
I think that's the Allegra AMG in there. I thought it was the Wynwood car. No, it is the Wynwood car. It is the 57.
That's a big hit.
That's a big,
big
very
hit.
Big. Good news
right.
Is that we're seeing at least in the GTLM, Jordan Taylor getting out of the car and moving away.
Yeah,
and he's pulled himself out. He's
that's a massive hit. Look at the front. I mean, that's front engine there. You know, that's a huge hit. And that, you could see where Jordan was walking away that he'd taken a massive hit there.
Yeah. Also in there is, I think that's the end. There is one of the Lexus. It's the 14 Lexus. That was the car that was doing very well and leading the category earlier on. The Cawthorpe Mercedes as well. The Gilbert Cawthorpe Mercedes is the silver car that's in there. The Wynwood car has pulled away, the 57, and that share's come in to see you in the pit lane.
They're going to struggle to get down the side there.
Shit. Well,
the
that
Audi
car's actually gone back behind the wall. Sorry, shit. Now, this was coming back to the restart, and the Corvette was up to speed. The 79 WeatherTech car just got through there on the left-hand side, but something slowed down some of the GTD cars that were in front of the GT Le Mans cars. And I'm not sure how that happened. They don't reorder all of the classes. They just put the prototypes in front. And
yeah, I think that's the concertina effect. You saw everyone braking, just coming down into 10A. They're braking hard. You saw the puffs of smoke, even with the DPI leaders. And there's always a concertina effect. And the farther you go back down the field, the more you're going to have that situation. You can see here the cars in front just slowing. And it's like a motorway pile up. You know, the cars in front stop, then it just has a concertina effect going back. And we were on board, you could see with Jordan Taylor there, and he was braking hard. He saw the hit before it happened. You see him take his hands off the steering wheel, and the impact was so hard that it opened his visor for him. That just gives you an idea of how heavy that first impact was. And he's gingerly getting out of the car, but he seems to be okay.
Yeah, that is an ex-Corvette.
But look at that debris on the right there, John, and it's going to be like, get through there, look, they're having to put, the cars are coming down, having to put their left wheel on the grass. There's so much debris from the accident there, and they're driving over debris. It's going to be a really tricky one. I was almost thinking they might sort of temporarily red flag it at this point, because it just looked so bad, because they're running over debris for a start, let alone having to put their left wheel on the grass to get past. But look at all those bits and pieces on the track as you see it.
Huge amount of debris for those of you tuned in on IMSA Radio or in other parts of the track. Jordan is out of the car and talking to the AMR safety crew, who got there very quickly. Not sure what the catalyst for that, which car was the catalyst for that, but there was a backing up, as Johnny described it, Jeremy, over the top of the brow there. That is quite a steep descent. And not sure if the green had been called and people were wondering whether they should have accelerated or not. But clearly, the GT Le Mans cars, which were at the back of the queue, were very much up to speed. The WeatherTech car somehow picked its way through the carnage. That was slightly in front of the Corvette, I think, or at least alongside. And there was some passing going on, which is fine if the green had been called, Jeremy. But something checked up in front of them and set that all off. And I'm not sure that we can say what that was, because I don't think we've got any evidence for it.
I mean, I've talked about this a lot in the past. I hate the fact that the GT cars are all jumbled up for the restarts, because the GTLM cars, you know, accelerate so much faster than the GTDs. And when the green flag comes out, you can go racing again. You don't have to wait until the start-finish line. And that's always a recipe for disaster, in my opinion. And it's a major disaster right now, because that's a big crash, debris all over the racetrack. And this is going to take a long time to clean up. It's taken a lot of really good cars out of this race as well. Hate to see it.
And you've got the LMPs at the front there, because they're always going to be braking a little bit more carefully. You're going to have struggle with that front tyre grip. And again, like Jeremy says, and you've got the cars behind sort of tripping over them, having to overslow as well, and it just sends itself back. And you're dropping down the hill, as you rightly say there, John. You kind of pop over a brow, not like 12, going down into 12.
No.
But you are slightly unsighted. It's so easy to come over that brow of the hill and literally be caught out. So I'm really unfortunate what happened there. And I think this will be a very, as Jeremy said, it's going to be a very, very long clear up.
It's very bad news, actually, for the Lexus, because the Kyle Kirkwood is still in the Lexus.
He's not going to get out, because
whether his car's damaged or not, we don't know. Whether it continue or not, we don't know, because he can't get the car out of there. I think there's some damage to the bonnet on that car.
But I think he's thinking, if he can get himself out of that situation, he can maybe get back into the pits. I mean, you don't walk away unless it's clearly not drivable.
But we're going to need several rollbacks to get rid of the debris. We've got intervention vehicles and ambulances down there, standard operational procedures. Half a dozen cars involved initially. At least one we know has pulled away, the Russell Ward Winward car. Shit, sorry, we didn't get you earlier on before that. Did I hear you say that car had come to see you but had gone behind the wall, the 57 Winward?
57 Winward did not even stop in its box. It went straight back behind the wall. And I have made contact with all of the GTD teams involved. They all say their drivers are A-OK. And by the way, the Inception McLaren went back behind the wall as well.
All right, so maybe that one was involved as well. I have to say I didn't spot that, but this is going to be a lengthy clear up. The Lexus is now clear of the other cars. It was the AMG that was ahead of it, the silver machine, but that has now at least been pushed out of the way. But I don't think it's good news for Kyle Kirkwood. He's going to drive it.
Yeah.
And no, go. Well, there's some suspension damage to the right front and a wheel that isn't turning. But the engine's fired up, the V8 is fired up, and he's going to try drive that back to the pits, Johnny.
He'll get it back from there. He's not got far to go. And yes, it's a lot of damage, and maybe they won't get back out, but nevertheless, you know, you've got to try. And full marks to him for not just getting out and walking away.
Yeah, working the wheel, which is only turning the left front wheel, because the right front wheel has been pushed back almost to the right-hand side door. Yeah, so suspension damage there.
He's got half of Georgia.
And the rest, look at the back as well.
Yeah, no, he's been hit. Well, he's been hit from the back. He's hit in the front. He got pincered in, and he ended up right hard against the concrete wall on the right going down into 10A. And he's got a lot of mud and dirt. So I'm sure he'll also be going straight back behind the wall.
Saved him a walk back, though, eh?
Yeah.
Straight back behind the wall, says Shea. Adam. So, at the front of the field, as we moved into another hour of racing there, going back to green, it's still Ricky Taylor from Loic Duval, Conic Minolta from Mustang Sampling. None of the top DPI places there, Jeremy, have been affected. However, there was a couple of interesting cars in there, notably the Lexus that Carl Kirkwood has got back. That car had led the class earlier on today.
Yeah, for quite a long time. Yes, indeed, it had. And despite the fact it started right at the tail of the field. So that's a major disappointment for that team. Number 12 car is still on the lead lap. Not that many cars left on the lead lap in GTD. There's only six, I think. Number 16 car, which one of my spies is telling me might have been one of the catalysts in that incident. But I'm going to wait till we see more before I talk about that. Number 23 car is in second place. So Patrick Long also has come from the back, of course, to now lead the class. Roman De Andres in the Aston Martin in second place. Lars Kern in the championship leading number 9 in third. Michael De Quesada in the Allegro Motorsports Mercedes is in fourth place in the class, along with Bill Oblin, number 96, and also number 12, which is Robert McGuess in the other Lexus. Those are the only cars on the lead lap.
Shea Adam is watching a number of cars coming back to the pits. I think I said that was the NTE Audi. I'm sorry, it wasn't. It was. Sorry.
They were involved too.
I'm just trying to second guess what I'm seeing in a number of replays that we're getting courtesy of our colleagues at NASCAR Productions. Firing those through to us here in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre to enable us to try and piece this together. Shea Adam, let's nip back to Shea for a VP Racing Fuel pit report. Shea, the good news is let's just recap. The first thing that's important is that all of the drivers, as far as we know, are all right. Let's get that out of the way first of all.
Yes, the teams have confirmed that to me, that even if they've not been in contact with their drivers, that their drivers are all right. Turner Motorsports just entered a closed pit. They pulled up in their box, pulled the bonnet off, pulled the left rear tire off, put the bonnet back on. Car went behind the wall. Another one is not in contention anymore. And Andretti is back into the pits, by the way. The Andretti Autosport number 36 LMP3 machine. That engine cover is off as well. Driver's side door is open. Extensive work going on down there. Don't know what's going on right now, guys, but this is quite a chaotic moment.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely right. And it's going to still take some time. There's a lot of oil dry going down there, as you might have imagined. Shea, we'll let you try and hustle to some of the other teams and see if you can find out if anybody can tell us what's happened. There's fluid in pit lane as well.
There'll be fluid everywhere, John.
Yeah, yes. For people just coming back in.
And also the situation you've got there is that just on the brake zone for 10A, on the right-hand side, you're going to have a lot of cement dust laid down, which obviously is going to have to get laid down, mopping up the oil, which they use it for, and then they're going to have to blow that off a little bit, because otherwise when you come down there, the visibility when the cars go over that, it'll be almost like driving for the first couple of laps in, you know, zero visibility in the rain. So it has a huge impact there. And then obviously you're going to have other fluid. You can see all the mud and dirt on the off just off the apex of 10A there. So there's going to be fluid all the way from there into the pit lane. So it's going to take them, it's not just a case of clearing it up, checking the barriers are okay, putting some cement dust down and sending them and going green again. It's going to be a lengthy process, this one, to get it, to get the track back. Otherwise, you're just going to have an accident immediately the next time you go down into 10A.
Gilbert Kortofkar is the only one that is still on the ground at the scene of the accident. GRT, the Grasser Lamborghini, is on the back of a flatbed. The Corvette, or what remained of the Corvette, was the first to be pulled away. Yes, that's right. That is... Oh, there's another car behind there. That must be the Audi. Yes, that is the Audi that is going onto a flatbed at the moment.
Is that the Mercedes? Is that
the silver car?
And then the Audi's just gone, and that's getting pulled up. Yeah. So that's what, six total?
I think six.
Yeah.
So you had the Corvette, the Grasser Lamborghini, the Kortoff Mercedes, the Audi,
the one that drove back,
the 57 Wynwood car that drove away. That's five that I'm up to already.
I think so. It might have been seven then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. With other cars that have been. That didn't actually get caught in the final conflagration.
Was the Turner car, I know Shay said you came straight in, and was that involved in the incident, or was that just something coincidental?
Shay will be finding that out. In typical, Shay's just saying not involved into the incident, but it did nose into the wall. The massive line of oil dry, which will then have to be swept up. Jeremy, keeping in touch with what's going on. Jeremy, you've been swapping some texts with Larry Holt over at the Mazda pit on the other side of the track.
Yes, indeed. A spark plug electrode failure on number 55. That's what caused that lengthy pit stop. They gained one of their three laps back, so we'll keep on digging, is what he said. Just what you're talking about, number 96 car, I'd be surprised if that wasn't involved in that incident, because when we came up for the restart, the where was that in the that should have been, I think, in the thick of the action, shouldn't it, for the restart?
Yeah, correct.
I think it was 16, 96, 14 were the three leaders, followed by number 23 and number 9. Number 96 and the 14 have both gone missing, of course. So I think I'd be surprised number 96 car wasn't involved in that incident. And it was a real great shame for the Gilbert Kortoff car, because that had been running really, really nicely.
Yeah, the Turner BMW was in the vicinity. It hit the wall hard enough to move the wall as well. And as Tux has just said, hello, Bert, how are you? At Tux1234. That accident has almost happened every restart today, and finally it did. It's that little bit of checking up as people are accelerating further back from the field, and then there's the can I overtake here or not yet? No, I can't, I better stop. And then the guy behind breaks a bit more. Yeah. And exactly as it happens on the motorway is what is happening there.
Yeah, and it's one of the reasons why in a lot of racing you're not allowed to overtake
before the line.
And before the line.
Yeah.
In multi-class racing, though, that can really make it frustrating if you're in a DP, you're stuck behind a GTD, and you're further down the pack, and they go green, and you're still coming out of turn 7, and they're going green at 12. So yeah. It is one of those double-edged swords again, that it creates good racing, but it also can create some really big accidents.
Well, pretty certain that the Turner BMW tried to avoid what was going on and ended up hitting the wall. I think it was the 79 WeatherTech Porsche that was alongside the Corvette, the number 3 Corvette that had the big accident, and how that got through.
Yeah, he snuck through on the left there, didn't he?
It was two Michelins on the grass there.
I reckon he had all four, John. I reckon he might even have just touched the wall as he went past, but obviously being a concrete wall and the angle being so shallow, he would have got away with it. But, that could have been even worse. And I go back to, Jordan Taylor there. I mean, that was big. I mean, to cause your visor to actually come open like that when it's been shut, and it would have been clipped shut because they would have been getting air filtered into their helmet, so he wouldn't have had it open. That just shows you, and good presence of mind actually to take his hands off the steering wheel in that situation. Probably it wasn't going to whiplash round. That tends to happen when you hit a wall.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, good reactions from him there.
Also, it tells you how far away from the impact he knew it was coming, which is never a nice thing, is it?
No.
When you know there's nothing you can do.
And also, car to car, it's always so damaging because it kind of brings... You hit a tyre wall, maybe it dissipates some energy, but you have car to car contact and it tends to really create a lot of damage because it's intruding into the different various different safety cells and structures of the car.
The NTE Audi, the red and white machine, AudiTyre.com supported... Coming back, looking somewhat pre-loved.
I tell you what,
right to say.
First lap down into 10A, John. Are we going to be actually able to see anything?
Nothing.
I mean, all the cars will be going down the left-hand side, aren't they? That's definitely. You're not going over that. I mean, you're not.
Currently,
I mean, they can't even let them go green, even close to going like that. It's like a sandpit.
It currently looks. I have seen. Artificial ski slopes that don't look quite as good as that, to be honest. That's what it looks like to me.
That's a good analogy.
I think that we... Well, and the problem is, for those that don't know, anything that's on the track surface, that puts something, grains of sand, you've raced in sandy places, WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca.
Yeah.
You've raced out in the Middle East, you know, out in Bahrain and places like that.
Yeah.
It's that sort of... And WeatherTech is exactly like that. It's that almost talcum powdery fine sand.
And
that gets on the track, that starts to get slippy straight away.
And it just reduces the grip, but that's when it's in the sort of inherent grain of the track. This is lying on top of the surface.
Yeah.
And so the grip level there, one, when you go over it and you're braking, because it's exactly on the brake zone, as it would be because of the nature of the concertina effect of the accident, but you're not going to be able to brake. You won't have any grip for braking. But then on top of that, when you come off it, going into 10A and 10B, you won't have any grip because it will have been picked up on the temperature, the hot temperature of the tyres, and it probably will mean that you'll be struggling at 12 before you actually get it off until you come out at 12. So I'm sure that all the drivers you'll see will start coming straight down the left-hand side here.
I suspect we'll see some...
They'll blow it off. They'll come round.
Yeah, the sweepers, of the blowers.
No matter how much they do that, it will still be super tricky for probably the next 40, half an hour maybe of the race before it starts getting rubbered back in again.
So we are under full course yellow. If you are just joining us, hello there. Just after 4:30, 30 minutes, 31 minutes, 32 minutes now past 4 o'clock on the Eastern time zone. We are in our sixth full course yellow after a multi-car accident, at least six GT cars. The pit lane has been opened for prototypes. And Shea Adam is watching some people taking the opportunity to come in. Shea, who have you got?
It was fuel only for both the 60 Acura and the 01 Cadillac. Fuel only for the 48 Cadillac as well, but there's a bit more work going on down at Mazda. The foot pedal box cover is coming off, if you will, and they have yellow gloves diving into that area. As far as wind is concerned, for the 52, the PR1 Matheson Motorsport LMP2 machine, that has just had another new nose. I'm pretty sure that is the second new nose of the race for that car. We've got a few LMP3 competitors in as well. The first car back off and rolling is the 74 Riley Technology. That looks like the helmet of Gar Robinson back behind the wheel. Second off the pit lane was the 83 Wynn Autosport. And then the third car off, Colin Brown has been installed into the 54 Core Autosport machine. Step back from the fences, ladies and gentlemen. This is about to get fast.
If you've got your Andy Blackmoss IMSA Spotters guide up on the wall as you're listening to us, the marker pen of doom can go through the number 70 Inception Racing McLaren 720S GT3. There will be no more driving for Brendan Array, Frederick Schandorf and Ben Barnicot. That car now officially retired from Petit Le Mans 2021. So I reckon that was seven cars there. Because that Johnny was the seventh car that I was struggling for. That's a big mess down there.
Yeah. I mean, it's such a shame to go out in this situation. And the Inception McLaren, obviously, they've had their problems throughout the season. Brendan Uribe, though, doing an enormous amount of racing in all sorts of different series, and fantastic to see him back out there. And such a shame that. That it's ended like this. I know Ollie Milroy was obviously normally in that car, but he's at home on family watch. expecting.
Yes, he made the difficult decision to stay at home because there's an addition to the Milroy family expected at any time now.
Yeah, exactly.
Ollie, we wish you the best.
He's a better man than me because in those situations I actually went and raced. I know that sounds awful.
Yeah, best to you and to Fern as well. Hope everything's going all right, and let us know which version you get when it arrives, if you don't mind. We'd like to know. Optimum Motorsport have just tweeted the decision was made to retire the car. This is the Inception McLaren due to the damage caused after the safety car restart. Oh dear. All drivers involved, including Brendan, who was running the McLaren at the time, are okay with no severe injuries. That's Brendan Uribe, a gentleman from the USA. Well, that's the best news. Yes, it's frustrating. Yes, it'll be costly in terms of time and energy to put those cars together. But for the most cars can be fixed or replaced. Good to know that the carbon-based life forms that were the nuts behind the steering wheel there are all okay, and that's the best thing. They'll all be getting checked up for any injuries. That an accident that big, it's standard operational procedure to take people to the care centre at the track. Shea Adam is still watching cars coming down the pit lane. It's GTs now that have cycled through. That's a Porsche. That was a Porsche.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And would you like to guess which Porsche factory driver is driving that Porsche?
No, you can tell me, though.
Patrick Long.
It's Patrick Long. Yes, the regular had a very lengthy stop.
I've done that wheel spin alongside him trying to get ahead of him or have him trying to get ahead of me. So I just guessed, but it was a decent guess.
King of the wheel spin. Yeah, very well good, Shea. Thank you very much indeed. Was that a standard stop for the right car, Shea?
It started off as a standard stop, but it lasted a little bit longer than everybody else on the pit lane. I'm not sure if that was by dint of them coming in a little bit further behind. I honestly wasn't watching when they came in. I was watching the GTLM cars because Corvette came in with the number 4. That was fuel and tires for that car. Tommy Milner stayed aboard. And it was fuel for the 24 BMW. I think they did tires on the 25 as well, though.
Starting to piece together some of the parts of that incident that's brought out this extended yellow flag period. The Inception McLaren, I think now we can say, was the car that took the big hit from the Corvette, which, given that it drove away, is quite extraordinary that car. Now, interestingly, of course, the McLaren is still, I think, unique amongst GT cars in that it's a carbon-tubed car.
Yes. I mean,
they had to have a rule change to allow that in.
But even though you think, oh, well, they're all going in the same direction, even if one's braking, they're so uncommon. Remember that accident, that horrific accident that Memo Gidley had at Daytona? I mean, when you've got cars coming through that, and he hit a GT car, a Ferrari. in fact, it was. So it's the car following. That's why I was initially quite concerned about Jordan Taylor when I saw that, because it was such a heavy hit for the Corvette on the front. It's the car following where it's going to potentially come into the driver's cockpit and things like that. But thinking about temperatures here is, again, they're going around very slowly. They'll all be trying to keep their brakes and tyres as hot as possible. But it's absolutely, you're fighting a losing battle. And on top of that, it's now an ambient temp of 55 degrees. And the track temp is just every now and again sneaking below 30. It's kind of averaged out at 30 at the moment. So this is going to be a really tricky restart when we do eventually go green.
Shea Adam has the number 55 Mazda back in again. Shea, what's going on this time? They've had to replace the spark plug. Is it more work in that area?
The completely opposite end of the car, thankfully. Yes, sort of. Different problem. It looked like the left front shock was moving. The spring was actually moving freely. They were working in the pedal box area. That nifty little thing that they have on the nose that they can just remove and then get into the important twiddly bits. Well, the spring was moving when the mechanic asked it to. That's not something that should happen with something that can hold 250 pounds of pressure per inch. So that's not good. But Ollie Jarvis has gone back out. They put the little piece back on. And once again, the Mazda goes out, but that's two almost consecutive laps where the Mazda has been in the pits.
Public information announcement for those of you at Trackside Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta listening on 98.1. If you are anywhere near Turn 10 at the moment, you might want to mask up for the simple reason is we have a lot of dust in the air down there. And that is...
That's one way to get rid of it.
Yes, just blow it into the air. Extraordinary sight of that much down there. The sweepers are out as well at various other parts of the track. IMSA taking the opportunity to clean the track as much as they can. But that jet dryer pressed into use, doing a cracking job of getting rid of the surface oil dry dust.
The trouble is, by blowing it like they are, I mean, it just sends it up and across the rest of the track. Really, with those, you need to do it manually. You need people to go over it with brushes and try to work the cement dust into the surface and into the oil and everything. But it's such a large area. It's almost like, I don't know, a 150-metre strip of it, and it seems to be about 2, 3, 4 metres wide, that it's almost impossible to just do it with brushes alone.
United Autosport have had Guy Smith into the pits in the number 22, sitting in fourth position in LMP2, taking the opportunity to do a rear deck and tail change after that car was hit earlier on in the race. We also had Andy Merrick in the LMP3 car, suspected puncture for that car. And Andy, I think, has got out. And let me see who got into that car. It was Tom Gamble, who's doing his first laps at Petit Le Mans in race conditions. 5.5 hours remaining, and we've now been behind the safety car for half an hour, 28 minutes. Shea Adam has more news from the pit lane, more remedial work going on to the, well, not necessarily the walking wounded, but certainly cars not as they left their respective factories. Shea, which car's been in to see you this time?
Patrick Long came back in, and I'm with the right crew. They have many, many long zip ties. Remember, this is the car that started out the race. They got the left rear puncture, then they got hit from behind and had bumper damage. Well, they put the new bumper on. It looks like they were trying to make it hold better. It does look like it's seated rather strange, but now they've put the bits and pieces where they need to go and told Patrick, go back out before the safety car comes around because we don't want to lose the lap.
So, I don't think we're too far away from getting back to some kind of competitive running. The class split has happened. At IMSA Radio, if you want to get in touch with us around the world or around the track. Almost 4:45, so 45 minutes before official sundown here. Now, the good news is for the gentleman drivers, Johnny, is they're burning some of their time here, and I know that I'm just as quick as you or McNish or anybody else under safety car. So this actually, you know, for some people this is going to work really well. For others, it's going to be pretty boring driving around behind the safety car.
Yeah, absolutely, and it always works well to try and eat up your driver time.
We'll get back to that thought in a moment. As Shea Adam down at right has Jan Halen, recently married Jan Halen, effectively on his honeymoon this week.
Yes, congratulations on the recent nuptials, Jan. It's nice to be a married man in the paddock. It's been a day for you guys, so much adversity to overcome. We're still 5.5 hours to go in this race, and you haven't been in the car yet. How difficult is it to just let Trent and Patrick out there play?
Well, we've got the best drivers here, so it's nice to sit back and watch them do the job. But yeah, no, it's been a very eventful race, and I think we all expected this, you know, with the cold temperatures and very, you know, very tough conditions out there, especially on the cold tires when you come out of the pit. I mean, there's still a long ways to go. I'm really happy with what we've done so far, fighting back from that early puncture. Being 2 laps down, you know, and then getting the maximum points for the Endurance Cup at the 4-hour mark. So far so good. The car is, unfortunately, the car is not as good as it can be with the damage that we have. But a lot of things can happen here. So we're going to hang in there and see how this plays out.
What were the guys working on this most recent stop in the right rear?
Well, we've got the most damage on the floor. So over the last three stops, we've been trying to fix some of the floor damage and make sure that we can go to the end. We'll have to wait and see. I mean, the crew's done a really good job here on this last stop fixing some of those issues. And the car seems to be okay. Like I said, we're missing some raw performance, but we're hanging in there. And Patrick just did an amazing stint. He really did a good job with the car he had. Lap times were still fairly good, you know, given the car we have. So,
well, you got one championship yesterday. Good luck getting another one today.
That's what we're here for.
Let's go to Jeremy Shaw, who has been doing a little bit of calculation. Whilst we were in that clean-up there, of course, we had the first tranche, Jeremy, of Michelin Endurance Cup points there. That was at the six-hour mark, so some, 35 minutes ago, just as we were about to go back, or as we were about to go back green. So what does the scores on the doors say right now in Michelin Endurance Cup? Jeremy.
Yes, John. The order overall at the four-hour mark was number 10 car ahead of number 5 ahead of number 31. What that means is that number 10 car will extend its lead in the Michelin Endurance Cup. It'll now have 38 points to the 32 of the number 55 Mazda. In third place on 28, the number 5 car, and then number 60 car just 1 point back on 27. In LMP2, number 52 car was ahead of the 8 and the number 11. The point situation, therefore, number 52 car will extend its lead from 1 point to 2, so 36 to 34 over number 8 car. Number 18 and 11 now tied on 30 points, so 6 points back. Get back to green, so I'll come back to the rest of it.
Thanks, Jeremy. Yeah, back to green. 5 hours and 25 minutes to go. And once again, being at the front of the field has its advantage, as Ricky Taylor has jumped away and got a half, three-quarters of a second lead over Loic Duval in the Mustang sampling Cadillac in second place. A lot of weaving backwards and forwards here, Johnny, I suspect as much to clean up the surface of the tyre as to try and get any heat into the Michelins.
Yeah, I mean, they're trying, obviously, to just generate as much tyre temp as possible. And coming down into 10A now, it'll be interesting to see whether they go straight over all the cement dust or whether they take a more sort of left-hand line or maybe even middle of the road to sort of make sure that they don't end up in a situation where they're locking going out, because you're going to have cold tyres and you've got all that cement dust as well. But actually, they've done a phenomenal job. If you look there, going over it, it's actually more in the middle there than where the most of the cement dust is. So on the racing line, I have to say, hats off to the organisers there. They've done an incredible job of getting that blown away properly.
Yeah, and it was only Kami Kobayashi in the Ally Cadillac who went down the middle of the road. It's fine for him because the 48 and the 01 are the same colour as the dust. So you frankly won't see it too badly. No, serious again, we've got to say, brilliant work by Track Services to get as much of that oil dry material down there and then get it back up again. Really very impressive indeed. Kobayashi hustling that white and purple Ally Cadillac in behind the 01 car with Earl Bamber. So Earl Bamber has been out there for half an hour before he's even got his first flying lap there, Johnny. That's not necessarily the worst thing. Otherwise, other than probably, he was probably getting a bit cold in the car at that point.
Yeah, when you're going around slowly, it's amazing. You know, it just doesn't feel the same. The car, the seat that you do, your molded seat, everything's built for when you're driving it quickly, not sort of poodling along at sort of 50, 60, 70, 80K. So he'll have been itching by this point to get going and actually start doing some quick laps. Unfortunate for the situation that it followed on so early on from another yellow, because obviously the 55 Mazda, Jeremy was talking to Larry Holt before, but weren't able to actually be in a position to get their lap back on this because they were actually behind the leaders in the train, albeit still two laps down. So there was no opportunity for them for a wave by.
Resetting the GT Le Mans running order. Matthew Jaminet leading in the 79. So that pass coming to what would have been the green flag That was super important. He's just lost the lead, though, to Philipp Eng in the 25 BMW. This was the car that didn't complete qualifying, so started at the back of its class and now leads the bright red, or the dark red, Motul-sponsored Rahal Letterman-Lanigan BMW M8. Just taking the lead then from Jaminet in second. Tommy Milner in the remaining Corvette. Tommy and Nick Tandy off to WEC next year, so this will be their final IMSA outing for a little while in the Corvette, one should say. And then it's the second of the BMWs, the black number 24, Jonathan Edwards in that car, and fifth in GT Le Mans, although all now at line astern and just 3 seconds or so between them is Michael Christensen in the 97, second of the WeatherTech cars. In GT Daytona, Roman De Angelis leads for Heart of Racing Aston Martin from Zachary Robisham for Pfaff Motorsport in second. So Aston from Porsche number 9. Then the remaining Lexus RCF, the number 12 car, is next up. Then the Allegra car, Daniel Morad behind the wheel of the 28, and Pat Long in the 16 GTD Wright Motorsports Porsche in fifth position. A lot of cars taken out of that fight with that crash, which is why I wanted to do those two classes.
And you're watching, we're looking at here the second to third fight in LMGT, and unfortunately there's an LMP3 in front of Jaminet in the 79 car, and he's therefore struggling to get past it, and it's allowing Tommy Milner in the number 4 Corvette to really keep close to him. And this is the frustration where you're quicker than the car in front, but you can't, because you're not quicker on the straights, you just can't get past him in all the brake zones. And he's flashing his lights even through 12. The LMP3 wasn't going flat through 12. You can see him here getting a run on him. He's desperately, and I think now he's getting enough of a run. He's pulling along the left-hand side as we go down into 10A, and I think at this point he'll be able to make that move stick. Whether Tommy Milner can follow him through is another matter. And Tommy Milner actually had the United LMP car come past him, and he split them. So that's given Jaminet a bit of breathing room now as he comes over the brow of the hill, dropping down into 12.
And that's also allowed Jonathan Edwards to close up on that battle in the second of the BMW. So BMW leads GT Le Mans by now almost 2 seconds. Jaminet second, then the remaining Corvette, and then John Edwards is right there as they go over the top of the rise at turn two. Sun in their eyes. That will be absolutely blinding there now for the next 20 minutes or so.
And that just demonstrates to you, you've got the class structure, but it's not always the fastest class cars that are trying to get through or causing problems, or the slower cars. Sometimes it's the bane of a GT driver's life, especially in LMGT when you've got top professional drivers. The bane of their lives is actually maybe an amateur driver in an LMP car or an LMP3 or even sometimes an LMP2, although they're normally quick enough to pull away, that's actually causing a problem and getting in the middle of your race and affecting how you can actually fight in amongst your own class against people that you're battling for the class victory.
It's Johnny Morlam who's joining us in the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre this weekend. Jeremy, we interrupted you with the Michelin Endurance Cup points going back to the restart. It's settling down a little bit, he says, hopefully. Just finish off your thoughts on the points awarded after the four-hour mark.
Yeah, I will. Yeah, in LMP3, that championship had already been won by the number 74 Riley Motorsports team. It's actually, in fact, number 30 that was leading the way at the four-hour mark. So 5 points for the Junior 3 Motorsports entry there. Good, strong debut for them. In GTLM, the car that led the points coming into the weekend was the Corvette, car number 3, by 2 points from the number 4 car. Well, I think the accident was just after the restart, but in any case, the number 4 Corvette was out in front at the 4-hour mark. The number 24 BMW was second, and the WeatherTech number 79 was third. So now the number 4 car leads the Michelin Endurance Championship by 1 point over number 3 car, which of course is points actually, but it won't be able to make up the ground number 37 car. And then, so 37 for the number 4 car, 36 points number 3, 31 points for the number 25 car, and 30 points for the number 24. So it's looking good there for the number 4 team. In GTD, which is ridiculously close, unbelievably, having had some problems earlier in the race, number 16 car was out in front at the 4-hour mark, so scores maximum points, which is 5. And rather than having a 1-point lead as it did coming into the weekend, it now leads up by 3 points on 33 ahead of the Pfaff bonus third. The Port Miller Racing Lamborghini has 29, even though that's a long, long way back or even out of the race. And next up is the car that was second place at the 4-hour mark, number 23, Aston Martin, which is now placed fourth in the point standings on 26. Just another quick note, by the way, in GT... quick note for Shea, really. Number 54 LMP3 car, Core Autosport, was right in contention, I thought, during that lengthy caution period, but all of a sudden has lost a lap. I'd like to find out why. Colin Brown is at the wheel of number 54 car now. It's in fifth place, but a lap behind the two leaders, which are the still number 30, Garrett Grist, driving that car, and Scott Andrews in the second place, car number 74. That's the champ winning car.
Shea can answer that question after she's told us about the pit stop for Mike Conway in the Wayland Cadillac, which has just happened in front of her.
Fuel and tyres for that car, very clean stop, exactly what we're used to seeing from that team as well. So, Jeremy, what are two of the most feared words in motorsport? Electrical gremlin. That's what's going on with Core. They were having an electrical issue. They brought the car into the pit stop. They shut the car off, did a hard reset, plugged the computer in, then did another hard reset, and then sent Colin back out to see if that makes the difference. But they are battling something that they don't fully understand.
Okay, thank you, Shea. VP Racing Fuel pit report and electrical gremlin report. Yeah, nothing worse than an intermittent electrical fault is something you never want to take to even the best service. Doesn't matter how good you feel and how trustworthy you think the guys that are working on your cars are. You take a car in with an intermittent electrical fault. Oh, awful. I hate taking my cars to car. I've got some very, very good friends who run service stations for a variety of different manufacturers, and all the guys that look after the cars are, I would call them friends, and I still panic when I take a car in. Never want to have an intermittent electrical fault. At IMSA Radio, if you'd like to get in touch with us, some news, 4 retirements after that crash, the 57 Wynwood car, the 3 Corvette, the number 14 Lexus, and the 36. That wasn't part of that. That's the Andretti Autosport LMP3, the Gallant Winterworld car. So that is
and the Inception.
And the Inception, yeah. So that's 5 cars, but that's another 4, 3 of which were involved in that incident. So we are whittling them down. Let's go down to Shea Adam and speak to BMW driver Bruno Spengler.
Bruno, it was pretty cool earlier today. You got a trophy for all of the iRacing exploits, and there was some notification for BMW, some appreciation for Philip too. A very exciting weekend, but those aren't the trophies you want, are they?
Yeah, I mean, for sure, it's good trophies. It's the second year in a row that we get the trophies from iRacing. I got it last year, Philip got it this year, so... was an awesome championship organized by IMSA. I really enjoyed it. But now we are fighting for the race. At the moment, it's looking pretty good for us. Hopefully, it keeps on going like this. But we've seen with all these cars on the track, it can be very messy at times. So we have to keep the car in one piece until 2 hours to go. That's the goal. Keep some clean pit stops, no mistakes on the driving. It's still a very long way to go, so we just hope that the car stays in one piece until the end. The team is doing an awesome job with pit stop, with strategy. It's very difficult to get everything right, but the team is doing the right job as always. So, we are just going to keep on pushing and hope that we're going to have a good end.
You and Connor won the 6-hour race, so are you hoping the race stops at 6 hours this year too?
Yeah, kind of, yeah. if we are leading at 6 hours, yes, it can stop at 6 hours, yeah. But no, it's a 10-hour race this time, so but for sure I have good memories here in Atlanta. Winning with Connor the 6-hour race was awesome. Hopefully we can also make a good one here this weekend on the 10-hour, because it's the last race for the M8 and the last race for GTLM, so it would be awesome to win it. It's a very special weekend.
it's getting colder now. The sun's starting to go down, the wind picking up a little bit. Is that going to help your car?
Yeah, it is. I mean, the good thing is when I jump in the car, I'm not cold. But it's difficult on the outlaps. You know, at night, it's going to be 5 degrees Celsius a bit later. So the outlaps are going to be very, very tricky to get the tires up to temperature. It's something that's very hard. So I just hope I get the tires as quick as possible up to temp and find my rhythm.
Thanks, Bruno. Good luck.
Thanks to you.
End of an era for the Le Mans GT cars this weekend, in IMSA competition at least. They'll continue for a wee while in WEC, which is why Corvette is taking the C8R over there. A replacement set of regulations on the way, which tentatively is being called GT3. Whether it ends up being in the same space as the current GT3 is, not entirely certain. I suspect that Stefan Mattel will have something to say about that. He's of the same mind as me that GT3, the current concept of GT3 has no place in the World Championship or particularly at Le Mans, because the manufacturers will just game the system and build specials and it'll get very expensive and then it'll all implode, which we've been around long enough to see happen a couple of times, Mr. Mullen.
Yes, we have. It's a cycle, but nevertheless, I would say that I wouldn't say GT3 could get expensive. I think GT3 already is incredibly expensive, but and it already kind of broke the mold that it was supposed, the void it was supposed to fill, probably 10, 12 years ago. So it's incredibly expensive to run a GT3 car compared to potentially a lower baby prototype LMP3. And GT3 numbers are almost up there in sort of LMP2 stuff, depending what championship you're running. Oh, yeah, incredible. How
GT3?
Yes.
Wow.
Some of the numbers you're getting, especially depending on which car manufacturer you're using. It's very expensive to run a GT3 car compared to, say, an LMP3. I mean, you're talking 3, 4, maybe 5... as much times as much per kilometre to run.
Really, that much?
Yeah.
What, more expensive for the GT car rather than the LMP3?
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, the wonder people like LMP3s.
Yeah, no, LMP3 in terms of bang for your buck, but at the end of the day, it's still not a Porsche or a Ferrari or whatever, so you'll still always get those people. And I think in terms of putting the costs aside, I think GT3 is fantastic because it's ubiquitous. You can take a GT3 and race it anywhere. You can go to Bathurst with it. You can go and race in America with it. You can go and do the Stefan Rattel series with it. You know, you can pretty much, if you own a GT3 car, you can pretty much, the world's your oyster in terms of racing it. And that's brilliant.
And there's quite a lot of places where it is the top class, like the Kreventic race
at
IMSA next weekend.
And you're going for overall victories.
The Bathurst.
Yeah. So, no, absolutely. I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying terms of costs, it's escalating.
I do like it. I think Stefan Rattel came up with a great concept. And it's done wonders for global GT and endurance racing at that national and regional level. My issue with taking cars that don't have a technical rule book to Le Mans is that if you're basically saying build it however you want and we'll performance balance it somewhere down the line, as soon as you start talking about the most important endurance race in the world, the manufacturers will start to play fast and loose about what they build and how they build it.
Well, that currently happens in GTE anyway in the
correct
world.
Exactly.
So unfortunately you're never going to get away from the fact that BOP is one of the most critical things that you're dealing with as a manufacturer or even a customer team going into any form of racing. Really, you see it in British GT with the BOP that supposedly balances everyone out. You see it at every single level, and that's going to be there for the long term.
If BOP worked, why do people bring out Evo cars? See, that's
money.
Yeah, of course it is.
Yeah,
it's like football clubs bringing out a new third strip, isn't it?
Yeah.
Ah, ka-ching, 50 quid a time. Maybe we're being slightly too cynical and we are having a bit of a laugh about this. Jeremy Shaw is part of our, once again, important part of our team in the Hackney Global Broadcast Centre. We are keeping our eyes on various battles down the field at the moment, and a drive back from Ollie Jarvis in behind the DPI, that's the 31 car, I think, the Mike Conway car.
Yeah, he's coming out of seven there. We saw him really close behind going into six, trying to get a run, yeah. Use the traffic to his advantage, nearly got a run at him, and you can see the braking at seven, went to the inside, and then got a little bit of a run down to 10A, but sort of three, four car lengths back, so he won't have been able to do it on the brakes. But for him, it's very, very important that he's desperately trying to work his way through the field if he can, so that if there is another yellow, he gets his lap back. So at the moment where he's sitting in terms of track position, albeit he's two laps down, he's also basically running at the back of the DPI train, and that's going to be incredibly frustrating. So all they can do now, John, is literally roll the dice and go off strategy, in my opinion. Take an early fuel stop, do something different so they're actually out of sync with the rest of the DPI field, because there's no way that he's going to be able to actually physically overtake every single car out there and get himself that lap back otherwise.
Adam, I'm going to pose a question to you to see if you can find out the answer. Just before you answered Jeremy's question about Core Autosport, we had the number 31 Whelan in for a pit stop. Mike Conway stayed in the car. You described that as a full service. He'd only been out for a relatively short amount of time, I think. Was that a regular stop as far as we're aware?
It looked like a full service, as per usual. I did just walk by their box a couple minutes ago, and I noticed Felipe Nasr was putting in his earplugs as if he's going to be getting into that car again soon. So I can't go check. I'll go ask Chris Mitchum.
It was a 31-lap stint, but of course, that was over an hour, but more than half an hour of that was under yellow. So in terms of green laps, it was, in fact, only seven green laps on that stint, I think, Jeremy. Yeah. And that would seem to me to be a bit odd. And given that everybody else who came in at the same time, for example, Philippe Albuquerque, he's still out there. He's leading the race and he's still out there. And he pitted it exactly the same as the Whelan car.
Indeed so. So that's certainly something to check up on. Behind the... So the number 31 car then is sort of at the tail end of the lead lap now in DPI. And you just said, so kind of, you know, he's got the Mazda pretty close behind him, which is still another lap down. It's fallen back now, isn't it, the Mazda? But it's two laps down. In LMP2, Thomas Merrill has really checked out here. Ben Keating is back at the wheel number 52 car, but Thomas Merrill in a win auto sport car number 11 as a checked out, he pulled out nearly half a minute already since the restart in a number 11 car, which now leads. Number 22 car Guy Smith at the wheel of that car is running in third place and in number 22 for United Autosports. And then the Tower Motorsport entry, car number 8, is running in fourth. In LMP3, next on the road in 12th position, Garrett Crist just very recently set a new lap, fastest race lap, in the leading number 30 car for Junior 3 Motorsport. And he's only pulled out 5 seconds over Scott Andrews in number 6.
It's Jeremy Shaw. And we'll keep an eye on that drive back from Mazda as that car is still trying to be... Larry Holt... the eternal optimist. We might get another two-way bives. We could be by. Strange things have happened. In the meantime, we will answer Jeremy Shaw's question. Shea Adam, the Whelan car, when it came in, what, 7 or 8 laps ago, what was the situation there? Only 7 green flag laps. Were they worried about a puncture?
Yes, they saw on the data that they had a right rear tire that was starting to go down, and when the car got in here, there was a big shard of metal from the collision that happened out on the back stretch that had embedded itself into the tires. So that is amazing when it works, and they were able to catch it before it became an issue. But yes, Mike Conway will be coming back in here soon, handing over to Felipe Nasr. That pit stop threw them off sequence. They're going to do something to try and throw themselves back on.
Yeah, I'm actually quite surprised that more people didn't come in and change their tyres after that, even though that they hadn't been working them that hard. I think for safety's sake, that wouldn't have been the worst idea. Of course, you potentially burn the set of tyres. All right, we're coming up to half distance. Now a time certain 10-hour race. It's Cunningham and Alta and Acura that lead by just on a second and a half from Loic Duval behind the wheel of the Mustang sampling Cadillac. Then another 5 seconds further back, MSR, Juan Montoya in the number 60. That's your top three at the head of the field. Wynn Autosport leading in LMP2. BMW and Philippe Eng took the lead a few laps ago now and has stretched out to a 5 second lead in GT Le Mans over Mathieu Jaminet in the 79 Porsche. In LMP3, it's the Junior 3 Racing number 30, Garrett Grist at the wheel. And in GTD, Heart of Racing, the Empire Strikes Back, the British brand, is leading. Aston Martin lead by 10 seconds over Zachary Robichon for Pfaff Motorsport and Porsche. That's how it stands as we come to half distance in the 2021 Motul Petit Le Mans at Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta.